a great meeting we had yesterday in Coral Springs, Florida. 12 hungry people just pulling every bit of truth out of it. Oh man, I loved it. I wasn't feeling very good when I got up. You know, I've had fighting this flu crap all week. You've heard my voice. It's getting better. But who cares how you feel when you're sitting there in a living room and people just can't wait to hear the truth of God. Boy, it was inspiring to me. And people hung out afterwards, and I talked about everything I could think of. And I was supposed to talk for 40 minutes. I don't know. It might have been 90. Anyway, you know, when you see people just pulling from you and they want more, then you just give them more. It was so great, so inspiring. Again, thanks to Waylon and Regina Dabbs for hosting everybody here. Just can't say enough about it. It's so great having the truth. Truth withstands everything. Even if people don't like it, even if people roll their eyes, none of that was happening yesterday. But, you know, even if that were the case, you have the truth. And you know you have the truth because you've been in the falsehood. You know the difference. Some people are afraid when they come to the truth because they say, well, I've been deceived before, so I can be deceived again. Yeah, but this time you're not being deceived. This time you really do have the truth. There comes a time, folks, when we are rooted and grounded. And I'm not saying you don't continue to learn, but you've arrived. You found it. You have found it. You found the answer to the purpose of humanity, why we're here, why Christ came, the purpose of the universe. And those people are afraid to enjoy that. Well, I've been deceived before. Yeah, but not now. Man, I just love it. I love when people love the truth. I'm still in 2 Timothy. This was a great book for me when I first started off on this path in October of 1993. I studied this book, especially this chapter we're in now, chapter 2. Especially Paul using the analogy of a soldier. I've always felt that analogy. Clyde used that analogy to pull me out of the trench back in October of this year when I was going through my trials. I was down, and he said, Christ is your enlister. You're acting as if someone else is your enlister. You are a soldier in the trench. We need you. The war is on. And he was like George Patton. What a pep talk. It was a pep talk of his life. I remember I was at the YMCA in Colorado Springs, the Briargate YMCA. It was like 7:30 in the morning, and I was wanting to die back then, literally. And I was pacing back there, and I said, Clyde, this is so bad. This hurts so bad. I don't have what it takes to teach. I just hard to go on. And he said, look, I'm going to take you and I'm going to tell you a few things. And he just grabbed me by the scruff of the back of my neck, stood me up over the phone, and he talked to me like a soldier in the war that I am. And boy, he said, I hope I'm not being too hard. I said, keep talking, just keep talking. I was pacing back and forth. And Paul is doing the same thing for Timothy. Sheridan has done this for me too, and I've done it for him, and Clyde's done it for him. I don't know if any of us have ever done it for Clyde. He just seems so steady all the time. He's had his moments, but this is the analogy of a soldier. Now, I told you we're going to be getting into examples Paul gave to Timothy to encourage him to keep up the work, herald the word. And these three examples were a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. Each occupation here has different manner of difficulty. For the soldier, it's hardness, it's suffering. For the athlete, he's striving, and he has to follow rules. For the farmer, it's labor. Now, each one of these also produces different character in the person. And in this case, Timothy, the soldier, it produces endurance. The athlete, this trial he goes through, the striving, following the rules, it produces faithfulness. The farmer, we're going to look at that. The difficulty there is labor. The character is patience for the farmer. Now, here's the goal. Here's the fruit. Here's what all these analogies are working toward. They're working this way toward me. They were working this way toward Timothy and toward all of you. You're going to reap this kind of fruit. The goal of the soldier is to please the one who enlists him, and our enlister is Christ. The athlete gets the crown, the wreath of righteousness. Like in the Olympic Games, they put that olive branch, the olive leaves, on your head. And for the farmer, he was the first to partake of the crop. That was the goal for the farmer. And we in the body of Christ will be the first to partake of resurrection. Well, no. We got beat by one, that's Christ. He deserves to be the first and the foremost. But we're going to also be partakers, fellow partakers of him, and the fruit of resurrection. Now, we're going to look at this first analogy here Paul uses, and that is of the soldier. I'm going to read the passage in a concordant literal New Testament here, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Suffer evil with me, Paul says, as an ideal soldier of Christ Jesus. No one who is warring is involved in the business of a livelihood that he should be pleasing the one who enlists him. A. Enoch has great insight into this passage, so I'm going to be borrowing from some of his writing here. Now, Timothy, he wasn't exhorted to be a soldier in every particular. I mean, we're not supposed to kill people, stab them with bayonets. Man, I used to think that'd be the worst thing in the Civil War. Can almost handle shooting a guy from behind a rock. But when it came to bayonets, I think I have a checkers game in that tent over there with General Grant. Yeah, that's not for me. So Timothy was not advised to engage in the physical training that the soldiers have to engage in today, or to take aim with a rifle. Nothing like that. Nothing concerning bodily strength. Nothing destroying and killing as you see today in so many avenues of life. It's on television, it's in the movies, kill and destroy. We're ambassadors of peace, and so it's the opposite of everything for our warfare. And we are in warfare, but it's the opposite of earthly warfare. But we're gonna find out where this analogy applies, where it doesn't apply. So there's one phase of the soldier's life that would enter the experience of Timothy and anybody who's heralding this word, and that is suffering. Yeah, great, huh? Everybody wants to hear that. Not really. And nobody usually pictures an ideal soldier as a sufferer. We get this idea of the great war hero. He's decorated, but you know, war is hell, as they say. And I know that those of you who are taking this gospel out, it can be hell. I was in friendly territory yesterday, so I thank God for that. It was not hell at all. It was very pleasant. But in the last 6 months, there has been some hell involved with heralding this. So you picture a guy just standing tall, a youthful person in his prime, vigor, strength. I think of that Christian song, Onward Christian Soldiers Marching As to War. I don't even know that's how it goes. Is that how it goes? Oh, sorry. That was just my lame attempt at marching as to war. It's this almost like this, when Johnny comes marching home again, hurrah. This glory, this epicness, but it's not. Think of the trenches in World War I and the pestilence, the disease, the rats, and it's horrible. And the enemy is after you incessantly, and you have prisoners of war, and it's just not a very glorious picture. Not what I thought. I told you before, I had thoughts of how glorious this job would be back in 1993, you know, visions of wonder, and it's not that way at all. It is a trench of suffering. Don't look at my blog on the beach. You won't get that idea, but believe me, those are the high points. I put the highlights on there. I don't take pictures of me crying. I don't take pictures of me cursing. I don't take pictures of me, you know, with no money, wondering how to pay my bills. I write to you about the low points, but I never take photographs of it. Actually, this should read marching as to war. It should be suffering as in war, because that is what it is. But nobody wants to sing about that. It doesn't make a catchy tune. Nobody wants to suffer. So the Christian soldiers today, they don't take their orders from Paul. Those who think they're Christian soldiers, they don't follow Paul. They don't follow his instruction. They don't follow his teaching. They don't follow his rules. And so they have very little cause to suffer. And anybody who's taken this cross on, this cross of going against the grain, marching to the beat of a different drummer, they know that Paul is right. Suffer with me as an ideal soldier. Endure hardness. Suffer. Suffer for the sake of Christ. Glamour, forget about it. I had an idea of false glamour, but that's been replaced by the reality of this warfare, and Satan is after anybody who is going to lift their head out of the trench and take this word out. This is my thoughts on Satan. He doesn't care if a dozen people have the truth, or even 100 people. 100 people have the truth. He can live with that. And he certainly doesn't care if 100,000 people, or it's more like 100 million people, have a false gospel, a mixed message, which is the gospel of Christianity. Hello, folks, you're in a popularity club. Hello, Paul Ton, it's a popularity club. You're not suffering evil as an ideal soldier because you don't even know the rules of the game, you don't know the message, you don't know the gospel, you don't know the marching orders. what shows up on Satan's radar is when somebody in the trench, one of those 12 or 100 people in the trench with the truth, lifts his head out of the trench to take it to the multitudes, to teach it, to broadcast it. That is when Satan takes note. Doesn't care if a few people have the truth, doesn't care if the multitude are believing lies, but when those who know the truth try to take it out to those multitudes, again, that's when it shows up on his radar and you become a target. I remember in 1993 sitting on the floor of my study in the farmhouse in Greenwich, Ohio, and just reading this 2 Timothy 2 over and over again. And again, I had no idea about the suffering. I probably didn't understand it. Suffer evil with me as an ideal soldier of Christ Jesus. I didn't understand it all, but it was verse 4 that I focused on. No one who is warring is involved in the business of a livelihood, that he should be pleasing the one who enlists him. That caught me, and I studied that, and I analyzed every single word of that in the Greek, and I want to talk to you about that tomorrow. Thank you to everyone listening to me who was at the meeting yesterday. You blessed me, and I hope that in the days to come, as you think on the things that we spoke about, that your heart will rise to that truth and your mind will wrap around it. You will become rooted in it. You will become grounded and you will become anchored in that truth, because the waves of opposition are going to come against you. This life is hard. Satan, our adversary, doesn't want this message out, but stand fast. This eon is coming to a close, and we are all, in a way, soldiers of this message. It would be lonely in the trench without you. I'm glad you're with me. To everyone listening to me, whether you were at the meeting or not, grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you.